Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeff White with Jeff White Fitness Solutions. I'm a certified personal trainer, author, and motivational speaker. And I'd like to welcome you to my Blog Talk Radio show, Making a Difference. Now, the purpose of the show is to highlight individuals who encourage us to be the best we can be, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. In order to survive in this world, I believe it's important to be mentally strong, and I also believe being spiritually, mentally, and physically tough all go hand in hand. It's also important to actually see and interact with people who are doing something positive with their lives because they can help educate and motivate us all to be better and do better. And this is really important because our society tends to put the most attention on things that are negative. I mean, think about it. The lead story in the news is usually something bad that's happened, and a lot of that has happened lately, as we all know. Or a lot of the music our young people listen to glorifies violence and a lot of other stuff. I mean, but if you think about it, if you're immersed in these things every day, they can affect your mind and totally just change your entire mindset and your outlook on life. I mean, they can just totally drag you down, you know, and this can be very, very dangerous to your mental fitness, and we have to step away from all the negativity. So, you know, the premise of this evening's show is to give back and help others. Now, there are many ways we can accomplish this. For example, my church has clothing drives and events for the homeless where they provide food, free haircuts, toiletries, and a lot of other things like counseling as well. Another thing I like to do personally is I like to give blood. I like to give blood 3 to 4 times a year. Like most people, I'm really busy, you know, but giving blood is pretty quick, and one blood donation can save 3 to 4 lives. So I feel like I'm helping people when I donate. Now, one of my clients, personal trainer clients, she volunteers at an animal shelter on a regular basis. I mean, she loves animals, and it makes her feel good when she goes to help out. Now, personally, I like to post these pics on my social media sites, and I like to see them as well when other people do it. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to see that stuff because they think people are trying to show off, but, you know, I honestly don't look at it like that. I look at it as an opportunity to try and expose people to something different and maybe inspire them to do it too. And I say that because I think a lot of people want to help others and give back, but they may not know how or what to do. And that's the basic premise of tonight's show, which leads us to our special guest. And our guest devotes his life to helping others, but he doesn't talk about it because he's not a talker, he's a doer. But we're going to make him talk tonight. And I think what he's doing is fantastic, and I know quite a few people who have expressed interest in doing what he does, but they don't know where to begin, and I'm one of them. So tonight, we're going to talk to Joel Banks. Joel is a missionary and a child of God, John 3:16. Joel has gone on several missionary trips with his church to Africa and Haiti to help out and encourage the youth. He's a great motivator. Now, what I like about Joel's story is he's real. I mean, this guy is sincere and passionate about what he's doing. He's not faking. And let me just tell you a little bit more about Joel. You know, he's the product of a single-family home, and he had very few positive male role models in his life. And his life was going down the wrong path, and he went to the Navy and got out, but it wasn't really what he wanted to do. But so he was not doing as well as he wanted to do in life. But one day, he saw a church flyer that turned his life around, and it simply said, time. But to Joel, it said, it's time, and he has not looked back since. He's given his life to God, and as they say, the rest is history. And Joel's primary goal in life right now, and I'm going to quote him, is to lead people to the truth, which ultimately leads to a change in their life for the better, which leads to a better world. Man, I don't know if he made that up or not, but I like that quote. So everyone out there around the world listening, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Joel Banks. Joel,
What's up, Jeff? How you going? How you doing, brother?
Good to see you, man. Welcome to the show, man. I'm so happy you're here.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's good to be here and just to share with you and your listeners, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's definitely a blessing, and I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, you know what they say, man? God is good.
Yes, sir, all the time.
Now, I know you're not a talker, and we already, you know, established that. But I can assure you that there are quite a few people out here who would like to hear your story, okay? So the first thing I want to talk about is you're not the same person you were when you were a teenager and a young adult. And when I first read your bio, I was like, wait a minute, this is not the Joel that I know, because I've known you for a while. And I did not know this about your past. And, you know, that just amazed me how, you know, how far you've come. So do you kind of want to just talk about that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. And to keep it brief, because you know it was pretty long, that thing that I shared with you. But as you said, man, I mean, I grew up in North Jersey, about 15 minutes outside of New York City, and it was right smack dab in the hood. And in my family, I mean, my family life was very broken. Fatherlessness just ran rampant through my family. None of the men were very responsible. And so the images and the role models that I had as a child were not the best role models. They were the ones that emulated the street culture and everything in it. And so, of course, as a child and as a teenager, that's what I began to aspire to be. That's what I thought what life was about, which money, power, respect, women. And so that was my goal in life, in the street culture. And without a father in the house, which I didn't realize years later how much that actually impacts a young man, or even a young woman, because the father, I mean, let's face it, the father, he is the spiritual authority in the house. He is the spiritual authority under Christ. He's the one that steers the ship and casts the vision, and he's the pillar. And so whenever that's taken out of the equation, it's like not to sound too preachy, but it's like leaving Eve to play the role of Adam, and that allows the devil to just come in and run rampant in the family and come in and do what he does, which is steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's why we have so many of our young men who have ended up either in the drug game or in jail or shot dead in the street and what have you, or just out there lost in their identity because they don't know who they are. They don't know where they come from. Not only the truth about God, but even about being a man in general, that's lost on them. And so, I mean, I was one of those young men. And so the first chance I got at freedom, you know, I went all out. I did everything that I could do or experience in the streets, especially the negative aspects of it, whether it was drinking, smoking, promiscuous women, getting involved with dealing drugs, hanging out with the wrong crowd, getting into mischief, staying in the clubs and whatnot, and just trying to put on this image or this facade that most of the people in my neighborhood or in those types of communities believe to be respectable. And so on my journey, eventually, I ended up going to the Navy, like you said, and it wasn't for me. It reminded me too much like jail. I was young. I was fresh out of high school when I went in. And so it wasn't something that I felt was for me. And so I got out fairly quickly. And as soon as I got out, I got back right back into the game, right back into the street, and started getting in trouble, got locked up a few times, going from job to job, woman to woman. And to be honest with you, I really feel like the only reason I didn't spend as much time in jail as I could have spent is because I had a praying mother. And because, you know, of a merciful God, like we were speaking about earlier, who by his grace kept me from ruining my life completely. And so ultimately, long story short, I would eventually find the woman who would be the mother of my two children, who I love dearly, my daughter Lyric, 10, my son Josiah, who's 6. But the relationship, she was just coming out of a broken relationship. And for me personally, I had never seen what a relationship looked like in the first place. I never saw, you know, what it looked like for a husband to love a woman or to love his wife, for a father to be in the house. And so The relationship was built on the sands of lust. It was broken. And so we were constantly at each other's throats, you know, fighting, arguing, and whatnot. And this went on for almost probably about 8-9 years. And at first, I was sticking out of loyalty because I felt as though I was determined not to leave my kids. That was just, like, no matter what, that I couldn't do what my father had did to me, no matter how bad things got. But then eventually, after I got saved, after I found that flyer on my doorstep, and I just knew at that point that it was time, that God was tapping me on the shoulder. He was calling me out of that mess that I had created so that he could begin something new in me. I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't know anything about the gospel. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My family did not go to church. We are what you would call, or what the church would call, Easter Christians. That's the only day we might show up to church. And it was more like a fashion show. Everybody had on their new outfits, new shoes. And we didn't even really know, as kids, we didn't really know why we were going there. We just knew it was Easter, you know. And in order to get the candy that was in the Easter basket, we had to go to church. And yeah. So that's what we did, you know. And yeah. During the relationship, it ultimately, you know, things fell apart between us. We ended up splitting. And God had just kind of called me out. And so from that time forth, it was just like full speed ahead for me with the Lord. And ever since that day, I've just been on this journey.
You know what, bro? I appreciate your candor. And the thing about your story that I know can resonate with a lot of people, and for the people who are listening, the single mothers, the men, the young brothers out there who do not have a father in their life, as you can see, you're not alone, because Joel went through that. And I don't really talk about my father very much, but I'm going to share a little bit with you guys tonight, too. I met my father once when I was 12. One time, he came to the house. I was all excited. My mother said, "Guess who's coming over?" I'm like, "Who?" She's like, "Your father." I'm like, "My father?" And I'm like, "Who is that?" So he came over and hung out for about 2 hours, brought me a sweater, and said, "Okay, I'll be back. I'm happy to see you. You know, you're my son. I'll be back." And that was, I don't know, how many years ago was that? Over 30 years ago, and I ain't seen him since. And, you know, for years I had that anger in my life about not having a father, but I got to the point, it's like, you know what, you just got to let it go. You have to let that anger go because it's just going to consume you, and I can't feel sorry for myself because I don't have a father. I have to make the best out of my life. And so for anyone out there who's listening, you know, who's going through that, because I know a lot of people are, you know, life does go on, and you can overcome and persevere. And thankfully, you know, I had a strong mother like you. She raised me up in the church, and I had that strong spiritual base and foundation, and that really helped me, you know, to persevere, you know, and just like you. So, you know, I can totally understand where you're coming from.
Yes, and so you know the importance of having a father in the household. I mean, the statistics are just staggering, and it's just grown worse, it seems, even nowadays. Whereas we have too many men that just refuse to stand on their responsibility, and instead want to run away because they feel as though what the world has to offer, that they may be missing out on something. Whereas everything that they should be doing, or their responsibilities at the house, whether it be their children and their wife or both, gets left behind. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just here. I want to let young men know that you can break that cycle. That my story didn't end there. That even though I may have spent a lot of time in the streets and making a lot of bad decisions in my life, I didn't get saved until I was 31 years old back in 2009. And so I had plenty of time to make plenty of mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, but God has changed. He changed my heart and my life, and he's allowed me to minister to people from the streets to the jails and even to the lost and broken overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that he took me out of the streets. I used to serve the same streets I used to serve, and he put his spirit in me and sent me right back out there to serve the gospel and to reach other people. And no matter what you've been through in your life, no matter what you may even be facing right now in your circumstances, whether it's in the hood or the suburbs or the city, God can turn around any bad situation and work all things together for our good.
That's right, bro. And you know what? People, they get so focused on where they are in life right now that they can't see further ahead because it's like they're in fog. You know, they feel like they're driving, you know, 80 miles an hour in thick fog, and they can't see, and they just feel lost and disoriented. But like you said, man, that's not necessarily the way you're going to end up. So you have to stay strong. You have to stay focused. You have to stay faithful. You know, one of my old favorite sayings is faith is like Wi-Fi. I mean, you can't see it, but you know Wi-Fi is there. You know, if you got your phone, it's right there. So you have to have faith, and you have to know that this is not your end destination. And if you really want to change your life, you can. All you have to do is just have that mindset. You know, you have to be mentally prepared for the change. And you may not even be able to see the change, but it can come. And like with you, it came with a flyer, a simple flyer that probably printed 10,000 of those things and just handed them out. But that thing touched your life in such a way that, you know, you just totally changed. And so people have to remember that. Just because where you are right now does not mean that's where you're going to end up. So I think that's fantastic, man. But let me ask you, Joel, tell us exactly how the church has changed your life.
The church. Well, I would say that's a tricky question because let's start with God, and then we're going to go to the church.
Okay. It's your show.
How has God changed, man? He's changed so much. He's changed. I mean, there's not an area in my life that I cannot name that he has not had his hand in mm-hmm. some way or the other. But I can say that. I mean, he's changed me from the man that I used to be, who was lost, broken, selfish, just driven by my sinful nature, to a man that he's always intended for me to be. And that took surrender on my part. He's changing me into the man of God and a father that I never had in my life. Mm-hmm. So that they don't repeat the same mistake that their father made in the past, so that the mistakes my father made when he chose to leave. He's changed my heart. He's changed my life. And when God changes a person, it always starts from the inside out. He always starts with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because before there can be any outward expression of any genuine change in a person, there's first got to be an inward transformation. And only God can make that kind of change. Only God has the power to change a heart and change a person. And so the good news for everybody, for all your listeners, especially if you could relate to what me and Jeff are talking about here, is that God is love, and that he loves all of us. He loves all of you more than we could ever know, more than we can imagine and ever express in ourselves outwardly. So what I want people to understand is that there's nothing special about us, and God does not show favoritism. He loves us all the same. And so the same change that people see in me can happen just the same in them, and that change is for the better. Now, mm-hmm. it doesn't look the same for all of us. It doesn't look the same for us. We all come from different backgrounds, cultures, different races, different classes. We all have a testimony from our past, things that we've been through, but also one that's still in the making that hasn't happened yet. And in order to unlock it, in order to unlock our full potential, we need the grace of God and his
mm-hmm.
spirit and the power of God working in our lives. And what God does in turn is turn that testimony into a living message. We become a living testimony that he will use to speak to others when they see the change occur in our own life. He uses people to reach other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the secret. That's the secret of our past trials and struggles, the stuff. That's the mystery of when we felt like we've been through it or we just blew it, or that God allows those things to happen in our lives for a great good. It's not about us. It's more about him and the people that who will eventually become part of our sphere of influence, who ultimately say, if he or she could do it, if Jeff could do it, if Joel could do it, then I know I could do it. I know I can get through this thing with God's help.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joel, I don't know if we have a caller. So we are going to, because this is a live show, we have a caller on the phone. So let me see if I can bring this caller in.
No, okay.
Caller, are you there? You are live on Making a Difference.
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
How are you doing? Yes, I am.
Hello. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Who's calling?
This is Stephanie Nguyen.
Oh, my goodness, it's Stephanie Nguyen.
Hey, what's up, Steph?
Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, my gosh.
We doing? We're having a wonderful conversation. Our main man, Joel, is really just inspiring us, and he's just
right.
A wonderful guy.
Right.
Do you have a question for us?
I do. I have a question for Joel. Like, I wanted to know, like, when you have a desire to help others, how do you go about when you want to help, you want to reach a magnitude of different people? How do you balance that? How do you balance? You know that God has put that in you to help others that are less fortunate than you. You know you don't have the manpower to do that by yourself. How do you reach out to other people so that you all can reach the magnitude of people that need help?
Now, is this something that you feel God is calling you to do? Like, you have this desire in your heart?
Right. Like, I want to help the knowledge that I have, I want to, you know, share it with people. But and I know everybody don't want your help and everybody are not receptive to your information, but how do you reach those people? Continue to try to show them?
Yes. Well, first, I would say, as far as finding your calling or trying to get there, it's the little things, which I found out that matter the most. If we're faithful in those little things, even if it's just two or three people that God has allowed us to have influence over, if we're faithful with that task, that assignment, then he brings an increase. And if it is in his will for you to be over a flock or ministry or be part of a larger ministry, then as long as we remain faithful to what he's asking us to do at that moment, then eventually he's gonna bring us into a new season and he's gonna bring us to the next level in our faith and in ministry. Now, as far as who could be a bit stubborn is what you mean, right?
Right.
I have a lot of those, especially, I mean, I got people who I'm associated with, even family members who I love, who I know, you know, may look at us a little crazy or like we're kind of weird. They don't understand what just happened. They know the old us and they don't understand what God is doing. I would just say it's patience and just rather than preaching to them so much, but just,
mm-hmm.
just showing them an example of a man or a woman of God and allowing them to witness that in you. And ultimately, I mean, eventually they're going to see the change that occurs in you. They're going to see the things that God is doing in your life, and he's going to show himself real. I mean, I once heard somebody say that God doesn't need any help defending themselves. It's like defending a lion. I mean, he's got this. All we need to do is be in prayer about those people and continue to try to be the example that they need in their lives.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Very good, Joel.
You're welcome.
Stephanie, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate the support. Hey, Joel, I have a question. You are a missionary, and when I found out that you were going overseas, I was floored because I've always wanted to do something like that. And that makes your story even more special because you went from being on the streets and not knowing what to do to going out and talking to people and helping them, missionary, you know, and Africa and Haiti. Can you tell us how you got involved in that and how did that make you feel as a person to go out and help so many people like that?
It's definitely an awesome experience. Anytime God gives me the opportunity and the privilege to serve him, whether it's overseas or even locally, you know, at the church or a local outreach. But as far as how I got involved, it was a gradual transition because when I first got saved back in 2009, I didn't even have a full understanding of what I was doing because I didn't grow up in the church. Like I said, I just knew that God had tapped me on the shoulder for something and that it was time to answer. And I never really had any desire to do missions, but I did want to reach my city. That was one of the first things that he put in my heart to want to do, especially those in the urban community, the same type of community that I come from. Mm-hmm. And I got my chance when he tapped me to help out on a street team back at Crossover Church. And big shout out to Crossover for anybody listening. I'm still connected with some of those guys over there. My partner, Theo, is actually the leader of the jail ministry that we go into, and that's how we meet up as well. But at first, it was something that we used to do to hand out flyers to invite people to outreach, right? So, but I sense God telling me it's time to do more,
mm-hmm.
to make it more than what it is, than what it was. And rather than just passing out flyers, and that's funny, I was asked to do that because that's exactly how God reached me, higher on my doorstep, and this, you know, and then he has me out there doing the same thing, even to this day. So rather than just passing out flyers, it evolved into a street outreach mission, and we would go out to evangelize and just share God's love with people. We were given the opportunity to not only just invite some people to service, but also share the good news with them and pray with them right there on the streets, and we led many people to the Lord and witnessed some powerful stuff, like people getting healed and delivered right there in front of us. Now, around the same time, God seemed to keep trying to get my attention about the prison ministry, which was something I was willing to try and help out with, but at the same time, I was kind of avoiding it because it wasn't something I could see myself fully getting involved with, especially at the time because, I mean, let's face it, the last thing I wanted to see again was a jail, right? Even if it's good to go in there and do something positive. And I never really saw myself as much of a preacher type anyway, and I didn't imagine in front of a bunch of juveniles in the jail preaching the gospel or praying with them. That was just completely foreign to me, so... And that's not really my personality or my character. So I thought, but God had different plans. And,
right.
And let me just take a moment real quick to let everybody know. Whatever that thing is that you don't want to do, that you may be hoping God doesn't ask you to do, or that you're afraid of because you feel like that's your weakness and God would never ask you to do that, I got bad news for y'all. That's exactly what he sent you in to do, eventually, ultimately. You might as well get over it right now because you're going in, and it's going to be both intimidating, but at the same time, it'll be the most amazing experience that you'll ever have in your life to trust him and to step out in faith, to step out of the boat and onto the water. And remember that God, he's not looking for people that are gifted or qualified. He's looking for people who are willing, people who are willing to step out in faith. So he's looking for you.
So I find it interesting that you were hesitant to do it, but when you did it, it sounds like you really, really enjoyed it. How does it make you feel, though, inside when you do that and you see the look on their face and you know you're touching someone? How does that make you feel?
Man, most of the time, it could be more of a blessing for me than for them, I think. It's the most fulfilling feeling in the world. And I don't mean that in a selfish way, but what I mean is it's better, and when we spoke about this earlier, it's better to give than to receive.
Yeah.
Because when you give of yourself to others, God, it's refreshing. God refreshes you, and you get to experience his joy. And at the same time, you're meeting the needs of somebody else. So it's reciprocal. It's not just one-sided, and it's addictive.
You know what? And see, that's the thing that I think people really need to see. And I talked about that briefly at the beginning when I said I like to do that because it kind of makes me feel good when I get blood and all that stuff. People really should try to do something to help others because the feeling is absolutely amazing. And you know what, Joel, we're almost done with this episode, but we're going to just let it go a little bit longer because this is some good information here. But,
okay.
Yeah, you know, you were saying this makes you feel really good. But yeah, so go on.
Yes, sir. But I mean, especially for the kids, when I'm out there like in Haiti or Africa, for instance, because we have to understand, I mean, they are the future of that particular nation, even in our nation. So if we're able to go to a country like Haiti or Africa that's in dire need of not only the gospel, but it's you know, ravaged by the curse of poverty and people are living in horrible conditions, if we're able to not only meet a need, but the gospel, and they're able to rebuild on a foundation of the word of God and the love of God, then nothing can stop them from prospering. And I'm not just talking economically, but also spiritually, because that's the most important thing, is getting right with God first. It doesn't make sense if we have all this wealth to be prosperous if God is not the one steering the ship. That's when selfish ambition comes in, and that person or people are living for themselves. And that's the problem that we see in places like Haiti. There's such a divide because you have this small group of people living it up, and everybody else is suffering, and not many are willing to help because they don't know Jesus, to be honest with you, and they don't understand the blessing that they've been. And so, and they're going to be held accountable for that one day. So as far as the way it makes me feel, man, I mean, I feel like I'm in my element when I'm out there to serve. And that's not just in those nations, but I could be in the streets or in the jail. I mean, I feel like those kids are my own. So it's a beautiful thing.
You just said two things I want to touch on real quick. The first one is I would so go to the jails. You know, because they need help. I'm not saying it in a bad way, but a lot of times they lock the door and throw away the key. But, you know, they need some support too, because, you know, if they get out, they're going to need something. You know, we got to build them up and help them and encourage them and let them know that they can, you know, achieve. They can survive. They can prosper. You know, like I said, where you are right now does not necessarily mean that's where you're going to end up. So that's something I would definitely like to do with you. And then number two, when you talk about money, bro, that's a whole nother topic right there, because money has become the new God. And it is, people are worshiping money. They're worshiping money, and it is destroying people. I mean, I know we need money. I know we need money because you got your bills and everything, but money is not going to make you happy. You know, there are plenty of rich people out there who are unhappy and miserable. Happiness comes from within, and that lust for money will be your downfall. You have to have that spiritual base. So I am so glad you said that.
Yes, sir, and you hit it right on the nail, right on the head, and I can't say any better. I mean, the scripture is clear when it says that the money is the root of all evil. And when we put that in the place of God, I mean, it has the throne of our hearts. Not only will we never be satisfied because we're just trying to fill a bottomless pit, that void that we all have in our hearts that only God can fill. And we try to fill that with things, with people, with our title, our status, our popularity, and we just yearn for more and hunger for more because none of it's going to satisfy. Jesus, when you look at the life of Jesus, he was always others focused. He was always concerned with the needs of the people, and he never turned anybody away. And we never have to worry about, you know, if we do, if God does bless us, or if we are blessed with wealth and that type of resources, we never have to worry about God or going broke or losing it all if we're being a good steward of what God has given us, if we're being others-focused and we're focused more on helping people rather than just helping ourselves. Because really, we're not taking none of it with us. I mean, it's going to, we're not taking that Bentley. We're not taking our bank accounts. We're not taking any part of our jobs or our wealth. And there's no guarantee that our kids or whoever we leave it to as an inheritance will do wisely with it either. So it's better to do the best we can with it, with what we have right now.
Exactly, exactly. Joel, I hate to say it, man, but we are over time.
We are over.
That time went quick, man, and we went over because this is such a good conversation. You know, is there any way people can either contact you, or if they want more information about missionary work or some of the work that you do, is there any contact information you can give them?
I would keep it simple, really. Y'all could hit me up on Facebook. It's facebook.com, Joel Banks. If you want something more personal, if you want to talk on the phone, just message me, let me know, and I'll give you the number, or I'll give you a call, and we can talk more about how you can get involved. I would say start at home, right where you're at. A lot of churches If you're involved in a church or connected with a church, a lot of them have an outreach or mission department that you can get connected with, or they can point you in the right direction to a ministry or mission ministry that they're affiliated with. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, the name of my church is Grace Family Church. If you're looking for a family church, you can go to gfconline.com/serve, and you can be surrounded by some great, loving people that will encourage you and help you along your journey. I couldn't do it without a church family, I can tell you right now. And some of the people that God has placed around me have been truly a blessing, and I'm grateful for all of them. Some of these other places that you can Google is Schools for Haiti, which is the ministry that Grace is affiliated with out in Haiti. A wonderful guy named Gil Bailey is over that ministry. Man has the biggest heart in the world, and he's an awesome guy. Missionary Ventures, Children's Cup, and Hearts of Fire are another three missions-based ministries. And also, if you have the gift of music, you like to sing, rap, dance, and you want to use your gift while serving on mission, there's an awesome missions ministry called Christ the Far Eye that you can also Google and get in contact with. And those guys are awesome over there as well. So, hey, if you got questions, just hit me up. I'll be glad to help you out or talk to you more about it.
Awesome, Joel. Hey, man. So I just want to thank you so much. This has been an amazing show. You gave us a lot of information. And for somebody who don't like to talk, you sure can talk. I'm kidding, man.
Hey.
I'm kidding. I'm just messing with you. But, hey, man, thank you so much. Hey, man, keep doing what you're doing. Like I said before, y'all have the utmost respect for me and what you're doing. You know, I'm very proud of you as a black man. You are doing your thing, and you're selfless, and you are inspiring people around the world. So praise God, man. You're an awesome person.
Hey, thank you, and thank you again for having me, brother. And the feeling is mutual. I love what you're doing, and I'm just going to pray that God keeps blessing you, man, and so you get this message out and keep doing your thing.
Awesome.
Love
thank you,
brother.
You so much. Love you too, man. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening tonight. This is Jeff White with Blog Talk Radio, and we will talk to you soon. Peace.